Amen. Let's turn to the book of Nehemiah tonight. We're in chapter 8, chapter 8 of Nehemiah. You know, Nehemiah is a study, as I say at the opening of every time I teach this, a study on leadership. And so for the last, six, seven chapters, we have watched Nehemiah gather the people, rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and so forth. And his leadership is what accomplished all that, of course, through the Lord Jesus Christ, or through our Lord God. And, you know, nothing happens without leadership. Nothing. You have to have someone to take ownership and move forward with it. So the wall is now finished, remember from last week, and Nehemiah now repopulates, if you will, the city of Jerusalem. The gatekeepers, the priests, the Levites, the singers, everything now has been put in place. If you look at chapter 7, verse 73, it says, "And when the seventh month came, the children of Israel, they were in their cities." So the rebuilt temple, the rebuilt walls, and again, the repopulation of Jerusalem has happened. And all of this is done except the most important thing. What good is it to have a rebuilt wall for the protection around a city? Or what good is it to have a church building if God's not there? The most important thing is to have the Lord there. So tonight, as we're looking at all this, Nehemiah is going to kind of fade, but only for a few seconds. And then another gift of God, Ezra the scribe, who's called over in the book of Ezra, the scribe of scribes, the priest of God, he's going to now merge into the picture tonight. So, you know, now it's time, since everything has been rebuilt, it is time now for the reform and the revival to take place there in the nation. So let's look at Nehemiah tonight. We're going to look at the joy of the Lord, but let's look at verse 1. It says, "And now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in the front of the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel." First of all, did you notice that the Holy Spirit did not say they all gathered together? The Holy Spirit, who penned the Word of God, said that they all gathered together as what? One man. Every child, every woman, every man, they're all united in their hearts. So they gathered in one place as one man, and that's what we're doing here tonight, isn't it? You know, there's power when we come together. There's power in unity. We should be proclaiming our unity, amen? Because we're the only people on earth that can have true unity that is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews, as tonight, like as we're gathering together, it tells us in Hebrews 10:24, it says, "Let us consider," or literally take careful note of, "one another, in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner or the habit of some are, but exhorting one another, and so much as you see the day approaching." You know, there is a day approaching, and it's clearer than it's ever been. And we're not talking about the day of the Lord. That's the day of God's wrath during the great tribulation period. But when it says the day in the scripture I just read, the day is approaching, that speaks of the day of Christ. And the day of Christ is the catching away of the church. You know, that may happen today. It really might. You never know when it's going to happen. No man knoweth the day. No man knoweth the hour. Amen? Jesus said, you better be ready. You better be watched. You better be expectant, because it's going to happen when you least expect it to happen. You know, not that I'm ready to go, but I am ready if he comes. Amen? But, oh, we have so much to do before he comes. And you know what? Here we are. We're one man. We're gathered in one place to love and serve the Lord. You know, how can we stir one another up to love and good works if we're not here to do it? And the only way that'll happen is for us to be faithful in attendance like we're commanded to do. Now, look at 8:1 again. "Now, all the people gathered as one man in the open square that was in the front of the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses," meaning the first five books, "which the Lord had commanded Israel." So they gathered in one place as one man. And I love this. Now listen, they only wanted one thing. They wanted the Word of God. Did you notice it was the people who asked, please bring the word of God? Listen, whenever you have people like that, like in Jesus said in Matthew 5:8, you know, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. Oh, listen, loved one, that's what these people were doing. They were starving to death. And there they are at the Watergate. Do you remember when we were in Nehemiah chapter 3, I believe, how they all went and they started repairing all the gates around Jerusalem? But when they got to the Watergate, they didn't repair that gate, because the Watergate is symbolic not of only the, where they go to get water, but it's symbolic of the fact that God's word is the water of life. Amen. And you know what? You don't need to repair God's word. You don't need to, it doesn't need to be rebooted. You don't need an extra software, whatever patch. You don't need any of those things. Man, the word of God, it is forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never, ever pass away. So they said to him, say, listen, Ezra, bring the book. What do you do with a church like that? They said, we don't want anything but God's word. We don't want a bunch of topical this or topical that. Nothing wrong with those topical sermons. But they said, we want the word of God. Bring that book. It says in Psalm 119:72, it says, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Is it better to you? I believe it is, or you wouldn't be here tonight. Amen. No, listen, you know, I was listening the other day, you know, Jack Graham, Prestonwood Baptist Church, that little church in Dallas or Plano, and he was telling a story of a man who collected antique Bibles. It's really fascinating. And one Bible in his collection was known as the Martyr's Bible. And if you study that out, it goes all the way back into the 1500s. It's when Mary the First, who was the queen of, the queen of England and the queen of Ireland. And what Queen Mary, by the way, was known as Bloody Mary. Do y'all remember that? And Bloody Mary, of course, what she did was when the Protestant Reformation and all the things were happening, she came against that, and she had burned to the stake close to 300 Bible-believing Christians, and they were persecuted, and they were burned to death for their faith in Jesus Christ. You know, and what they would do after the martyrs, when they were dead, they would take that Bible, and they would go over to where he was or she was, and they would dip the Bible in his or her blood. That's an unbelievable thing, isn't it? And here that man had that in his collection. And Jack was talking about how you open the Bible and there to the pages and you saw all this human blood that was there of people who gave their life for the word of God, who would rather die than recant. Amen? And not only that, he said there was other pages and you looked and it was just full of like water stains, and he realized that was the tears of the people who wept over the word of God. Let me tell you something. When the church returns, when we go back, I remember the revival of the 60s and the 70s. I remember it. I was there. When we go back and when the word of God touches our heart and we as one man and we come together and say, you know what? We just want the word of God, because God cannot lie. Amen. When we get back to that again in our nation, loved ones, something is going to happen. We should be weeping for that. We need to have a revival. That's what's happening here in chapter 8, is a revival is taking place. Job said it this way about God's word. He said in Job 23:12, he says, listen, he says, I have treasured the words of his mouth, meaning God's mouth, more than my necessary food. May that happen again. May it happen right here. Amen. Now look at verse 2. So Ezra the priest, he brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Now, the first day of the seventh month would be like the beginning of the year for them. And so it would be, that would be September. And remember, the wall there was finished on the 25th day of the sixth month. So there's only been a few days that have lapsed in our text, if you will. And so here, you know, he brought the word of God out to them. And you know what? The church, Well, the Word of God must have its proper place in the church. Amen? Boy, I'll tell you, there's the Word of God is so paramount. You know, I pray, and I know that you didn't come to hear me tonight. If you did, that's wrong, because, you know, I'm not anything. That's true. But you know what? You came to hear tonight. You're here because you want to hear not me, but God's Word. You want to grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what it is all about, loved one. And you know what? God wants every Christian, everyone that he's chosen, he wants us all to listen with understanding. That's what it said. Look at it again. He says, and all who could hear with understanding. Man, listen, you can only progress. You can only walk in the joy of the Lord, loved one, as you understand the Word of God. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, and he said this in 5:17 of Ephesus. He says, Ephesians rather, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. God wants you to know. He wants you to understand his word. And look at verse 3. And then he read from it in the open square that was in the front of the water gate from morning, meaning first light, from morning until midday, before the men and the women and those who could understand and the ears of all the people. Look what they were now. They were attentive to the book of the law. Now listen, don't ever accuse me of preaching long. I mean, can you imagine? I have never pastored. I have never been in a church. Okay, we're going to start early in the morning before first light, and you're not going to get a bathroom break, man, okay, until noon. Listen, you know, man, that is unbelievable. And their ears were so attentive to the Word of God. So Ezra the scribe, look what he did. He stood on the platform of wood. Now, that was the first pulpit, if you will. And while they made... which they made for the purpose, and beside him at his right hand stood Mattathiah. Now, I'm not going to read all these 13 names. Is that okay? But you know what? You could do a study, for example, like Mattathiah, that means gift of Jehovah. Shema, that we know what that word means, the Hebrew, you know, hear. And then Ananiah, that would be Jehovah has answered. So you have all these names. What a wonderful study that is, these 13 men. And it says, and Ezra opened the book, or literally he opened the scroll in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, look what happened. All the people stood up. Now listen, they stood up for 6 hours hearing the Word of God. And you know, do you remember if you came out of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, for example, how when the reading of Scripture was done, everyone stood up? Y'all remember that if anyone was there? You know, that's what this, where this comes from. And Ezra, look what he did. They all stood up and Ezra blessed the Lord. He started to pray. He blessed the Lord, the great God. And look what the people did. All the people, not some of them. They answered, amen and amen, and while lifting their hands, and they bowed their heads, and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. That incredible humility and total submission unto the Lord as a living sacrifice. Isn't it funny how the Word of God can bring worship into our hearts? That especially sometimes when you're alone and you're reading the Word of God and it's just you and everything is quiet. And sometimes it just hits you so powerfully that you just bow your head before the Lord and you give thanks for the Word of God. Just like it says in Psalm 138:2, your word is truth, which you have exalted above your very name. Man, the Word of God, is it not rich? I thank God for the word, for the Bible, that we have that in our possession. And then in verse 7, we have another list of people. I'm not going to read all of the names if you don't mind, but drop down just where it says that the Levites and they helped the people to understand the law, and the people stood, they remained, in other words, in their place. Now, we don't have a picture of this, but there could be as many as 30,000 plus people in this whole audience here that's with Ezra and them. So evidently, Ezra there, he's reading the Word of God. And what's so weird, now look what happened. So the Levites helped the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. Now, it evidently means that I'm assuming that Ezra, as he read, then he paused. And so you had people in the congregation that they would, hey, what does this mean? And they would call one of those people, you know, Hanan or whatever, and some of the Levites, and they would come and they would help explain the Word of God to them. Now, yeah, maybe we ought to try that on Sunday mornings, you think? And so he said, so they read, watch this now, They read the Word of God in a certain way. They expounded the Word of God. And it says distinctly. In other words, they made the Word very clear to the people. They so read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. So each passage, they wanted to make sure that every person there understood the Word of God. See, reading the Word of God without understanding the Word of God, loved one, it's really not going to benefit you if you don't know what it means. Amen? That's why, you know, I was listening tonight. As a matter of fact, Paul Koo walked in my office, and I was listening to a tribute to Pastor Chuck. And he was talking about when it all started and how we just teach the Word of God simply, just teach right through the Bible. You know, that's how the Word of God, I believe, should be taught, or I wouldn't be a Calvary pastor. In other words, line by line, chapter by line, chapter, book by book. Amen? That's what it's all about. That's how you learn. That's how you grow. And that's what they were doing right there. And Nehemiah, it says, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest, and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Now, remember, it was the first day of the seventh month, which meant, if we went back to the Feast of Israel's, that would be the Feast of Trumpets. And then 10 days later, it would be the Feast of Atonement. And then about 10 days later, whatever it was, if I remember correctly, then we would celebrate, or they would, the Feast of Tabernacles and so forth. And that was a seven-day celebration. Now, so we know that there was this celebration was going on, and that's why they said, hey, this day is holy to the Lord. Now, look what they're saying. Do not mourn, do not weep, for all the people, they wept when they heard the words of the law. Boy, I'll tell you, for that to occur today, you know, for when a people understand the Word of God, they wept over the Word of God. You know, the people there out of Babylonian captivity, they were starving. They had not the scrolls in Babylonian captivity that we know of. We know that Daniel did, but the people at large, they hadn't heard maybe the Word of God even in captivity. We're not told. And so here they were broken when the Word of God was being read. Their hearts were so tender. You know, the Bible says, you know, weeping is for a moment, but joy cometh in the morning. You know, if we truly, and I say this not as a criticism or even a judgment, you know, I check my own heart before I say anything to you guys, as I should. But you know, if we really, truly believed all what God says about us, you know, so many times when people come to an office that they call and Bill, I'm not going to make it. And I say, why would you say you're not going to make it? Well, because of just the things that are going on in my life, in my own heart. And I say, do you not believe the Word of God? Psalm 138, verse 8, the Lord will perfect those things concerning you. He's going to do it. You can't do it, but he'll do it. Just let him do it. Amen? The Bible says in Philippians 1:6, it says, he who began a good work in you will complete it to the very day of Christ. That's a promise from God. Listen, we should weep over that and say, oh, God, we're so happy. I'm weeping with joy. Amen. Or if I've sinned, oh, God, I've blown it. Well, what does it say in 1 John 1:9? He says, if we've sinned, if we confess our sins, we know that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What joy. Man, that joy should just flood and fill our heart. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 4:12, it says that the Word of God, loved one, it is living, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And man, it starts penetrating all the way down to the spirit, the bone and the marrow. It discovers all the intents of our heart. Man, God loves you. He loves us tonight. You know, sometimes it's so easy for our joy to be stolen from us. The devil's such a liar. Discouragement tries to come in. The problems of life, things come into your heart that keep eating on you, even though you try to go on with your day. But sometimes there's that pain, that ongoing pain. It just doesn't leave you. You know, grieving does that. Did you know that? When you're grieving, see, grieving is a love word. Remember how it says in Ephesians, do not grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, the word grieve means to make sad. You can make the Holy Spirit sad. You can vex him. A grieve is a love word. So if, when you're grieving for somebody, maybe a member of your family, or maybe your marriage, or whatever it might be, you know, you feel joy less at times like that. I'll tell you, that's when you need to know that God is so near. He knows every inch of your pain. He's not telling you to deny it. He's telling you to look at him. Amen. And that's what we all need to do. And then he said there in verse 10 to them, he said, go your way, eat the fat. In other words, go ahead and just get full, eat the meat. This is a time to celebrate. Drink the sweet and send portions to those to whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Do not cry. Do not weep. No sorrow in your heart. Let it go right this minute. The reason? For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Listen, do you believe that? I mean, the joy of the Lord really is your strength. If you need strength, you need his joy. That's all you need to have. And you'll have all the strength you need. Isn't it amazing that God is telling them in his word how to have joy? He says, oh, listen, the joy of the Lord is the strength. You know, when we get over to chapter 12, verse 42, it says, and the singers sang loudly with Jerizaniah, the director, and also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced. Here comes, ready? For God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and the children, they also rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. Man, listen, that's the house of God, the people of God should be the most joyous people in the world. Amen? It doesn't mean you're not going to hurt sometimes. It doesn't mean you're not going to have problems or anything like that. But I'll tell you, the joy of the Lord truly is our strength. See, our joy is of divine origin. And also, our joy, the object of our joy is the Lord. Amen? Oh, so we look unto him. We have strength that no one else has. We have the strength of the Lord. And you know something? He wants you to experience that strength. He wants you to taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, for example, do you believe that all the promises are yes? And again, I say yes in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. How about Philippians 4:13? I can do some things through Christ Jesus. Oh, I'm sorry. That's Kevin's version. I'm just cheating. I can do what? All things. Whatever, I am equal to anything. That's what that means. I'm equal to, no matter what it is, I can do anything. I can do all things, not in myself, but I can do it through Christ Jesus. Why? Well, the joy of the Lord is my strength. His joy is my strength. Amen? And that joy lives in our hearts. Listen, the word of God is true. The secret of the strength is the joy of the Lord. And you know what? You look at this world is not joyous. You know what's so sad about the world right now is that everyone is pointing the finger and blaming everyone for things that happened 20 years ago. And you know what? You can't change morality. You can't change what happened 20 years ago. You can't change what happened 150 years ago. You can tear down every statue you want in the city and the nation. It won't change what happened. Do you understand? Nothing, that doesn't erase it. That doesn't make it better. None of those things. Oh, loved one, listen, we're living in a time when people, when social media thinks that they can correct the moral majority or the morals of people. No, that's not going to work. Only God can do that. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. You can't change it. Oh, but I tell you what, you run to God and he'll change you. That's what's needed today. In this world, this joy, the religion's joy is full of weakness. Only Christianity has the joy of the Lord. I think that we don't even need to try to explain it. That's head knowledge. Nothing wrong with that, but I'd rather experience the joy because that's heart knowledge. To where I have the joy of the Lord living in me. Jeremiah 15:16 said this. He said, oh God, your words were found and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. 1 John 1:4 says this. It says, and these things, John says, we write to you that your joy may be full, may be overflowing. Man, listen, the word of God is supposed to bring you joy. And even if it brings you correction, that should bring you joy. Amen? It keeps you on the straight path. Jesus said in John 15:11, boy, listen to this one. These things I've spoken unto you that not anyone's joy, but his joy, my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. You look up that word full in the Greek, it's pleroo. It means completely overflowing the joy of the Lord. It remains in you. It belongs to you. No one can take that from you. But you know what? You can certainly not walk in it. You have to appropriate what God says you can have by faith at all times. Amen? That's the only way we can do it. You know, the source of our strength, the Lord's joy. There's no joy without God's word. There's no joy without Jesus Christ. And the word should make you joyful. I mean, you know, have you ever just talked to one and said, well, you're a co-heir of Christ? Okay, yeah, yeah. Heaven is your home? Yeah, I know it. No sorrow? Yeah, yeah. No pain? No more tears? You're going to live forever with Jesus? Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's wrong with you? Man, listen, we are the people of God. All things, Paul said, all things are yours. All things. They've already been given to us. We're, listen, what all that God the Father is going to give Jesus the Son is going to share with us because we are co-heirs with Christ. We're children of God. You know, whenever the Bible says in 1 John 3:1, when it says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, lavished upon us, poured out upon us, that we should be called the children of God. We should fall on our faces. Behold, what manner of love. That is one, what manner in the Greek is one word. It means a love that is not from this world, a love that is completely out of this world, from heaven. A love that never changes, never goes up, never goes down. He never looks at you and says, I don't love you. He never looks at you and says, you know, why don't you add up? You have already added up because you're in the one who was perfect, amen, and still is perfect, Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, we should, our joy, even when we're depressed, even when it's down, listen, there's Romans 8. It begins with no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, and it ends with no separation. Man, we're locked in tight. We're going to be with the Lord. Nothing can separate us from him. Nothing, not death, not sword, not peril, not angels, not principalities, not things created. Absolutely nothing can ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are solid with him. Not because we've done it, it's because he's done it. And what God has done, no one can stop. Amen? Oh, that's right. Our joy tonight, listen, you know, how does joy really happen? Joy when you're down. I use the word grieving again. When it keeps that, see, a grieving, when you grieve in your heart, it's because you love someone. And even though you can't make the change, even though maybe you've prayed and want to see, and you just keep grieving because nothing has happened, you don't mean to grieve, but see, when you love, you just grieve. Does that make sense? Well, God knows the only way for you to get out of that. I'm not saying the pain goes away, but the only way is to have the joy of the Lord then is to believe by faith, is to trust the promises of God. Do you remember Habakkuk? I mean, what a great three chapters that little book is. And man, I mean, God was sending, remember, the judgment was coming, the Babylonians were coming against Judah. And man, they had surrounded the city and they were going to, there was no hope. It was going to happen. And there was Habakkuk. Remember what he did? He looked and he was trembling. He says, oh my goodness, the enemies are coming and there's not anything that we can do. You know what Habakkuk said? He said in Habakkuk 3:17, he said this, oh, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, and though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, and though the flock may be cut off from the field, and there be no herd in the stalls. He said, basically, if everything that I see, everything that sustains me, if it fails, if it's gone, If my way of life is gone before my very eyes, he says this, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Amen. In my darkest moment, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy, not in my circumstances, not because I'm surrounded by the enemy, not because everything's getting ready to be destroyed. But he says, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Not in the darkness, not in the things that are happening, but he's going to rejoice. And why? Because the joy of the Lord is what strengthens you. In the midst of grieving or in the midst of that pain. And he goes on and he says, here it is. The Lord God is my strength. You see, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. He says, the Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. He'll make me walk upon the high hills. Praise the Lord for that. What does he mean? That God will never fail you. Not high heels, eh? Do you understand? He will never, ever fail you, no, not ever. The joy of the Lord is your strength and nothing else is. Warren Wiersbe said this. He said, the world's joy is temporary. It is artificial. And when that joy is gone, people are left with even greater weakness and greater emptiness. But the joy that comes from the Lord is real. It is lasting and it enriches our lives. And that is without a doubt. Look at verse 11. And so the Levites quieted all the people. Remember, they were crying. They were mourning and weeping. And he says, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. You remember a moment ago how I said about being grieved in your heart? And all the people went their way. Now they're to eat and to drink. And look what they did. They sent portions and they rejoiced greatly. Why? Because they understood the words that were declared to them. Not because the walls had been rebuilt. Not because of those things. Now they're protected. No, because they understood the word of God. And then they did exactly what the word of God told them to do. I remember, in my first pastorate, I'll never forget it. I was in prayer that night. I was crying out to God, and God is my witness. I was in the bedroom. Becky was asleep, and I'm just in next to her praying quietly. No one heard me, and I said, "Oh God," I said, "I need a word from you about what we're going through." And all of a sudden, just like a dove came in, and it was all pitch black, but it came into my heart or my mind. I don't know, and I saw 2 Corinthians 5:7. You know, fall right into my heart. You know, that we walk by what? Faith and not by sight. Do you know that word brought such joy to me because that's the word I needed to hear that night. Do you understand? That, okay, I see all these things, but God says, oh, Bill, you walk by faith. Don't you believe I'm going to take care of you? Don't walk by what you see. Don't let those circumstances control you. I'm not ever going to leave you. I'm not ever going to forsake you. You see, when they understood the words that were declared to them, oh, man, they were exploding with joy when they understood the word of God. Again, no wonder John the apostle, when he writes in 1 John, he said, I've written unto you these things that your joy may be full, not empty, not half full, but completely running over. You know, we have what the world wants. We have what the world longs for. We have joy. We really have the joy of the Lord. Listen to me now. Do you know it is the will of God for you to have his joy? That's God's will for your life. He wants you to have that joy. And it's a product of intimacy. It's a product of fellowship. It's a product of knowing and believing the word of God. And it's also a product of being full of the Spirit of God. For the Galatians 5, what is it, 22? For the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. Joy, that is a supernatural fruit from heaven, loved one, not on this earth. It's from God. Listen, it says, and then on the second day, the heads of the father's house, all the people, the priests, the Levites, they were gathered to Ezra, the scribe, and here it comes again, in order to understand or gain insight, to learn the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord God had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should announce and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go out to the mountain and bring olive branches and branches of the oil trees and the myrtle branches and the palm branches and the branches of the leafy trees. Make booths as it is written. So the Feast of Tabernacles, which celebrates, remember, the wandering in the wilderness and when they celebrating God's provision and the shelter that God had given them. He says, and then the people went out and they brought them and made themselves booths, and each one was on the roof of his house. Remember, Jerusalem is now repopulated, okay? They built in their homes. And in their courtyards, the courts of the house of God, and in the open square of the water gate, and the open square of the gate of Ephraim. So the whole assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths, and they sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua the son of Nun until that day, the children of Israel had not done so. And watch what it says. And there was very great, what? Gladness. They celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles like they had never done before. Now, that doesn't mean that they had not celebrated it since the time of Noah, because they did. But they had never celebrated it this way. You see, they were relearning the Word of God, that they didn't have that in captivity. You see what I'm saying? They were all gathered as one person. Man, they were in love with the Word of God. Again, one man in one place. They wanted one thing. They just wanted God's Word. So they all participated in something that they had not done since the Babylonian captivity. They all built the little booths, some on the roofs of the home, some in the courtyards. And every night they would sleep in them with the children, and they would tell the story of what that meant. So they were being built back up all over again. And also day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read the book of the law of God. Now Moses, remember, in Deuteronomy commanded that it would be read during that period of time. And so they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day there was a sacred assembly according to the prescribed manner. Now, the walls have been rebuilt, so the city now is no longer a reproach. We'll get to the dedication in a week or two or whenever. But listen, the word is being read, the word of God is being understood, the word of God is being obeyed. Everything is falling into place, and revival is now happening, and the joy of the Lord is their strength. Do you know what? The joy of the Lord should be our strength. We should be coming together as one man. You know what I love tonight? When I was listening to Chuck, just about the tribute, and he was talking about the early days there at Costa Mesa. And this, of course, this was during the Jesus movement. You know, that's when I came to Christ. Mike McIntosh was talking about, he said, it was unbelievable. It's all hippies back then, you know. And he said they were bringing in these guys and women on their cots. They were so sick. Some of them were like drug addicts. I mean, out of their minds. And some of them just, they couldn't walk. They were ill. And he said, they prayed for them. And people started getting up out of their cots. They started walking. They were totally made whole. Listen, that is revival. That is when God is touching people. You understand what I'm saying? Those days can happen again. That's not something, all we have to do is hunger after God again. Hunger after the Word of God again. Wanting to serve God all again with our hearts. Listen, it can happen right now. That's why the Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:1, where it tells us, it says, therefore we're also surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. The sin, a specific sin, meaning unbelief. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Listen carefully. Who for the joy, there's that word again, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. Christian, listen to me. Keep your, no matter how you feel, I'm not saying to deny the way you feel, but I'm saying no matter how you feel, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, keep your eyes on the one who died for you, the one who loves you, the one who lives for you, the one who makes intercession for you, the one who will never leave you, never forsake you, never relax his hold upon you. You keep your eyes upon him. Amen. And that name is Jesus Christ, that joy that was set before him. You know, the horrible things that our Lord went through, I know that the joy that was set before him, you know, wasn't to come in this crummy world that was so filled with sin, to be born in a feed trough. Of course, even the Word of God teaches us that was prophesied. His own family denied him. The thorns upon his brow, the lictor's lash upon his back, the sin of the world being placed upon him. No, you know, the joy that was set before him that says in Luke 19:10, it says that Jesus Christ came to what? To seek and save those that were lost. Man, you see, the joy that was set before him is were you, me. He died for us, amen? Oh, I say, oh, Lord, you're so good. You know, can I tell you something tonight? I don't know, maybe just one of you, maybe many of you, I don't know, but don't allow the devil to lie to you. He's a great liar. He's a really good liar. Matter of fact, he is the origin and the father of all lies. He loves to deceive. He loves to discourage. He loves to kill, steal, and destroy. He loves to appear as an angel of light, to where it makes you look like, well, this has got to be good, but it's not good. He is the worst of the worst. And he'll tell you, you know what? Oh, look what you've done. And he'll say, and you'll say to yourself, I don't know why I did that, but I just want to give up now. Oh, that, and he'll go, yeah, you want to give up. You need to give up. Well, I fail. Oh, yeah, you have failed. You're a failure. You're just no good. And you know what? You might as well give up because you don't have any joy anymore. Let me tell you something. If that's you, you run to the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart because you will find joy if you believe the Word of God in forgiveness that is given unto you. Amen. I'll tell you, he will wash you. He will cleanse you. He will forgive you. He will cast your sin so far away that he'll never remember it again. That's what he does. All you have to do is believe in your heart. If you confess your sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from not some unrighteousness, but from all unrighteousness. He throws it behind his back. Loved one, listen to me. You know why there's so many joyless Christians today? It's because they have forgotten where the joy of the Lord is found. That's why I encourage you, never neglect your prayer time. Never neglect Bible study. Never neglect being alone with the Lord. The Bible tells us in Psalm 16:11, he says, you will show me the path of life, and listen carefully, and in your presence is the fullness of joy. When you're in the presence of the Lord, oh, getting into the presence of the Lord. It says that God inhabits the praises of his people. Amen. He inhabits us when we worship him, when we praise him. The presence of the Lord. I'll tell you something. You cannot, whenever the manifested presence of the Lord, either here in worship or during the word or in your private prayer time, when the manifest presence of the Lord is upon you, the joy is absolutely unspeakable. You couldn't even think a bad thought if you tried, because all of a sudden your flesh has been commandeered. In the presence of the Lord, you're in a holy awe before him. Do you understand me? The manifest presence of God touching your life, touching you, letting you know that I am here, letting you know that he is near, letting you know that he loves you, that he cares. He, like a father wrapping his arms around his child. Safety, security, love. Oh, how he loves us, like the song just said. Do you know how much he loves you tonight? He says, oh gosh, people, I love you, and in my presence there is fullness of joy. And at my right hand, listen carefully, are pleasures forevermore. Forever and ever and ever and ever. We have a joy that will never, ever, ever fade away. Let the world escape get it out of your head. The world's passing away. Everything in it's going to pass away. This is a temporary planet, but we're not a temporary people. If our earthly house be dissolved, we have a home in the heavens. Amen? Man, listen. We're going to be there forever and ever. You can't even imagine the incredible things that God has planned for you, not only now, but then. Father, we praise you for your word. We praise you, Lord, because we desire with all of our hearts that fullness of joy that is found in your presence. Oh, Lord, let this church rise up in faith. Let a new hunger come into the hearts of every person, all of us from the pulpit all the way down for your word and your life and your will and whatever you want for us. And let us love one another as you have loved us. And then let the whole world know that we're your disciples when they see that kind of love that we have one for another. Let us be one man gathered in one place desiring one thing, your presence, your touch, your word. Oh, Father, manifest yourself to this church. Let a revival begin. Let this place become your water gate, and let your water of living life pour from this place. Let the new beginning begin. Oh Lord, that new day has arrived. Great things are coming from your hand. Great things are coming to this place. Oh God, you said, prove me now. We are. If you would not pour out a blessing upon us, that the windows of heaven, we cannot contain it. Lord, manifest your presence. Manifest your joy to this place, to your people. Do it even now. Let there be a fear. Let there be a new holiness. Let us weep over the word. Oh God, let us hunger and thirst after righteousness. God, move upon us. Move upon us tonight. Move upon us right now. Oh God, we cry out to you, to the throne of grace. Help us now. Help us. We ask it in the name above every name. We ask it, oh God, in the name where every tongue will confess and every knee will bow. Oh Lord, we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, the strong Son of the living God, our Savior. We ask it in his name. In Jesus' name. As we just close and worship you now, we worship you and we love you and we praise you. We honor you. We let everything fall aside just for these few moments. Oh Lord, we abandon our hearts to you. We abandon ourselves. Touch us, oh Father. Touch us. Heal us. Heal broken hearts. Wash away sins. Heal sickness. Pour out revival. Oh God, pour out revival. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. God is good, isn't he? Amen. Amen. Good things are coming from the hand of the Lord. Good things are coming from the hand of the Lord. I cannot define it, for I know not what it means. I tell you, good things are coming. Good things are coming to this place. God is doing something. He's doing something. He's up to something. Let us walk in the Spirit. Let us be filled with the Spirit. Let us do good one to another. Let us love one another. Amen. Let us be good and kind one to another. Let us pray one for another that we might be healed. Let us walk as one. Let's proclaim our unity. Let's walk on water. Let's walk on water. Let's get out of the boat. Let's move into a new adventure with Jesus. While we have time, while the moment lasts, let us live for Him. Let's sing.